You all know, right, the three most important considerations in real estate? You could probably say them along with me, right? Location, location, location. And, you know, that's not just true in real estate. That's also true about life. And today, we're going to study a parable. It's one of Jesus' parables, an illustration, that is, a metaphor, a story that he told that illustrates a spiritual point. And this is a metaphor about real estate and about life. It's a picture that Jesus painted about a choice that each of us has to make. What street do you want to live on? Now, nobody likes to be told what to do. Given the choice, most of us would choose to have a choice. We want selection. We like to leave our options open. We want to be able to decide things for ourselves, right? Unfortunately, we have a choice. God lets us decide certain things for ourselves. And as we continue our study of the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5 through 7, today we come to the final section, the final part of the Sermon on the Mount. And we've been looking at this section for, this is our third week now, where Jesus presents his followers with three important choices. And they're right up here. Where are you going? Who are your guides? And the third one's over here. What will you change? We have talked already about that first point. We saw that we are presented with two paths in life. One is a broad path, a really huge, wide one, that where the going is easy and the travelers are many. And that path looks like the right one, but it leads to death. And then there's another path, one that's narrow and twisted and tortuous and hard to even find. Not many people can find it, but that path leads to life. In fact, that's the only path that leads to life. And Jesus says that we get to choose which one of those two paths we want to take. We also talked about last week, who are your guides? And we saw that there are all kinds of voices out there claiming to tell us the truth. Preachers and politicians and philosophers and books and movies. And Jesus says that we need to be on the lookout for false teachers, people who claim to tell us the truth but don't really tell us the truth. And how do we know the difference between those who are telling the truth and those who aren't? Well, we begin by comparing what they say to the Bible. And we also evaluate the fruit of their teaching, the long-term effect of what their words are. Not everyone who speaks in the name of Jesus tells the truth. And not everybody who names God knows God. And a man's relationship with God, we saw, is demonstrated by what he does in his life, not by what he says with his mouth. So we have to choose. We have to choose which teachers we're going to follow. Today we come to our third choice. What will you change? Jesus says that your life is like a house, and you can choose to build your house on one of two foundations. You're free to make that choice. God has given you that freedom. But before you decide which foundation you want to have for your life, there's something that you should know about these two foundations. One of them works, and the other one doesn't. One of them is solid and dependable, and the other is unreliable and sure to bring you disaster. The path, we've looked at three things: choosing a path, choosing a leader, choosing a foundation. The path that you choose determines whether or not you find the way. The teacher that you choose determines whether or not you find the truth. The foundation you choose determines whether or not you find life. What kind of foundation have you chosen for your life? Because each of us have that choice in front of us. Well, let's begin by picking up with the verse that we looked at last week. It's verse 21 in Matthew chapter 7. And it says, you remember this from last week if you were here, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. And so here in this verse, we saw that the person that God accepts into heaven is not the one who just says that he has a relationship with God, but rather the one who really does have a relationship with God and who demonstrates that by his or her actions, by the things that they do. They live out their relationship with God. They don't just talk about it. And so this verse here is a contrast between talkers and doers. Now, in verse 24, the passage we're going to look at today, Jesus is making a slightly different distinction. He's making a contrast not between talkers and doers, but rather between hearers and doers. Not people who claim to have a relationship with God, but here he's talking about people who hear the truth from God. They hear God's truth. It's about those who are listening to the truth that Jesus is teaching here on the mountain. In other words, he's speaking here to his audience, the ones that have been listening to all that he's said here in these three chapters. In other words, he's speaking to us, the people that he's addressing as the followers, the ones that seek to follow him, and he's giving this discourse about what we need to know in order to follow him. He's talking to us, and he says, you know what? You have a choice. We have all heard these words that Jesus has said through Matthew 5 through 7, the Sermon on the Mount. And the question is, now what? See, there are two ways to respond to this truth that you've heard through Jesus' teaching, and you have a choice to make. Are you going to do it and put it into practice in your lives? Or are you going to settle for simply hearing it, hearing about it? In other words, now that you've heard the Sermon on the Mount, what will you change? Jesus describes your choice by giving us two, comparing these options that we have to two different houses built on two different foundations. And the first house represents those who are changed by the truth, those who do something about what they've heard. And Jesus describes that kind of person in verse 24. Here's what he says. This is the first foundation. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. See, each of us every day continues to build our lives. We build our lives through our actions and our words, our attitudes, through our choices. With every decision we make, we lay a new brick. We nail a new board to the edifice. And so we are the ones building our houses. And this is the first way that we might build it. Jesus says it's a wise builder who does it this way. And that word means not just incredibly wise, but it means thoughtful. It means sensible. Somebody who's put some thought and consideration into how they're going to build. And the key thing here about the building is its foundation. Now here what we have is an emphasis, not just on hearing God's word, but on application, on follow through, on actually doing the truth, on living that out, putting it into practice in our lives. Doing the truth is what Jesus calls the foundation of rock in our lives, the foundation on the rock. You know, a lot of times when we talk about Jesus as the rock, it would be easy in this parable to think that that rock that we're supposed to be building on is Christ. And there are passages in the scripture where Jesus is called the rock upon which we stand, that our foundation is on that rock, but this is not one of those passages. This passage is not talking about Jesus being the foundation of our life. It's rather talking about application as being the foundation of our life, doing God's word as being the foundation of how we build. Notice that Jesus focuses in on these words of mine, everybody who hears these words of mine. And he's drawing a parallel there between his words and what he referred to in previous verses, the will of my Father in heaven. Remember that verse we looked at? He who does the will of my Father in heaven. And here it's he who does, puts into practice these words of mine. And he's drawing a parallel between his words and the will of the Father in heaven. In other words, he's claiming essentially that his words are God's will. That is God's will. When we hear God's word, we have a choice. We can either be content with being informed, or we can put it into practice. We can allow God's word to change our lives and the way that we live. You know, the huge difference is in the outcome that it has in our life, the impact that that has in the way that we live our life and what happens in the next life too. Jesus describes the result of this decision in this parable about the house in the next verse 25, and he says, okay, here's what happened. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. The hurricane that Jesus is describing here is most likely a reference to the final judgment when all of us stand before God. And that will be the ultimate test of our character and our actions and our words. But I think that when Jesus says this, I think he also has in mind the hurricane that each of us faces every day simply by living life here before we ever get to that ultimate hurricane. We run into hurricanes right now all the time. And when difficult times come, when our beliefs and our values and our choices are tested, the outcome is going to depend on whether or not we have applied God's word to our lives. The rain, the flooding streams, the strong winds, all of those things together represent the hurricane of life. You know, I've said this before, and this isn't news to most of you, but life is messy. It's just a mess. Life throws us some pretty challenging problems and some pretty severe disappointments. It introduces an onslaught of stressful trials that we have to face. Many of you, I know, are going through that right now. You're going through and experiencing the dark side of life, and you're in the middle of some of these hurricane-force winds. Life is really taxing, and it's pulling out every ounce of energy and faith and hope that you possess. And you might even be here today, or maybe there's some days, maybe not today, but other days when you're sure that you're not going to make it, and you don't know how you're possibly going to get through. I think that anybody that doesn't recognize how messy life is, you know, isn't 20 years old yet. And even some people before they're 20 get to experience the messiness of life, and they know what that's all about. But you don't have to live here very long to find out that life is a hurricane and that we go through incredible difficulties that we face in our life. Now, what Jesus is saying here is not that if you build your foundation, there's not going to be a hurricane. He's not saying that life isn't going to be messy, that suddenly all the pieces fall into place and you're on this very easy, broad road that leads to life and it's just going to be a holiday and a piece of cake. He's not saying that. What he's saying here is that your ability to weather that storm, your ability to survive through that hurricane, depends entirely on one thing, and that's your foundation. It depends upon whether or not you have put God's word into practice. Are you doing what you've been taught? If you have been, then you're going to be able to withstand that onslaught. You're going to be able to survive the hurricane because you have a solid foundation to stand on. You have allowed God's word to shape your beliefs and your values and your choices. And so when they are tested, they will endure. They will make it, and you'll make it, because you've put God's word into practice in your life. This parable comes in two parts, and so we've just finished the first part. It looks like this. Jesus says that doing the truth will protect you from the storms of life. Doing the truth helps you, protects you, allows you to endure and weather that storm. The person who recognizes that and builds his life around putting God's word into practice, that person is a wise and thoughtful builder because they're preparing for the storm. That person has chosen a sturdy, rock-solid foundation for their life. So when the hurricane of life blows cold and hard against him, he will not fall. He will not crumble because God is protecting him. You know, the Bible is littered with examples of this. One of the ones that occurred to me was Noah, a man who was told by God that there was a flood coming and told what he should do about it. He should go build this boat. Nobody had ever even seen it rain before, and yet Noah was told that rain was going to come and flood the entire earth, and they must have thought he was crazy. Noah worked for decades building this big ship, bigger than anybody had ever seen, I'm sure. And then loading it full of animals, you know, this crazy, crazy thing. But those who put into practice God's word, who actually applied God's word to their lives, were the only ones that were saved. And everybody else, it didn't matter whether or not they heard God's word, if they didn't do it, they weren't saved. There's a second part to this parable. Beginning in verse 26, Jesus describes a second house, one that represents those who hear the truth, but are not changed by it. They have chosen a different foundation for building their life. And this is what he says in verse 26. Everyone who hears these words of mine, but does not put them into practice, is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. Now, once again, here we have a builder assembling a house, and as he puts together the house of his life through his words and his actions and his attitudes, in his choices, with every decision that he makes, he lays a new brick and nails a new board. But this time the builder is foolish. He chooses a foundation that's shifting and unstable, and unpredictable. Now, I want you to notice something really important here, what that foundation is that he chooses. The foolish builder that Jesus is describing is not somebody who has no idea of what God's word says. That is, he isn't contrasting those who go to church with those who don't go to church. He's not trying to draw a distinction, a parallel between those who read the Bible as opposed to those who don't read the Bible. What he's talking about are people that know God's word and know what God wants. They know God's words and his will. Both the wise builder and the foolish builder in this parable are described as people who hear these words of mine. That means both of them hear the truth. That means both kinds of people know the truth. And the difference between these two builders is that one of them acts on that truth and the other one doesn't act on the truth. You know, very often this parable is taught differently, as if these two foundations were the rock is Christ, and if we trust in Christ, versus if we trust in anything else, the philosophy of the world or whatever, that it's like sand. That's not what this is talking about. This is talking about a contrast between two people, both of whom have heard God's word. One of them puts it into practice, and the other one doesn't. And that's a huge distinction between the outcome of those two, of that decision that they make, those two options. One of them practices the truth, and the other one doesn't. One of them acts on the truth, and the other one doesn't. One of them is changed by the truth, and the other one is simply well-informed and better educated about what the truth says. See, hearing the truth but not doing the truth is what Jesus calls a foundation of sand. And when we hear God's word, every time we hear God's word, we have a choice. We can be content with being well-informed, or we can put it into practice. We can allow it to change our lives. And once again, there's a huge difference in the outcome. And Jesus describes the result of complacency about acting on God's word. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. The exact same words here at the beginning, parallel verses describing these two situations. And here again, it describes the same hurricane. When difficult times come, when our beliefs and our values and our choices are tested, the outcome is going to depend on whether or not we have applied God's words to our lives. At that point, it doesn't really matter whether or not you have heard God's word. Hearing God's word sometimes doesn't matter. The only thing that matters is whether or not you have done something about it. Whether you've done anything with what you've heard. Your ability to weather the storm of life depends entirely upon your foundation. Have you put God's word into practice? Are you doing what you've been taught? If you have not, then you will not be able to stand against the onslaught of life. And when the wind, the hurricane, will overcome you because you have no solid foundation on which to stand. So here's the second part of the parable as we see these two things side by side with each other. Sometimes simply hearing the truth doesn't matter. That's not a big deal. Hearing alone does nothing to protect you from the storms of life. The person who builds his life without practicing God's word is a foolish builder. It doesn't matter how well he knows God's word. It doesn't matter how much he studied or read. It doesn't matter how many years he's gone to church. He has chosen a foundation that will fail. And so when the hurricane of life blows cold and hard against him, his house will fall and the destruction will be great. You know, God tells us the truth for a reason. He loves us. He loves us and he wants us to have the best possible life that we can have, abundant and full of meaning. And he wants us to live forever in this wonderful place that he's created for us called heaven, where there is no deceit, no treachery, and no unkindness, and no death or disease. All the messy garbage of life is gone in eternity. That's what God wants for us. And he wants us to experience victory against that hurricane now and deliverance from it in the future where we no longer have to live with it. And so he tells us how we can do that. He tells us the truth. And you know what? Here's our reaction. This is our typical reaction to that. Why is God trying to ruin all our fun? You know, why does he limit us and keep us from enjoying all these attractive pleasures that we see around us? Why doesn't he let me do what my friend gets to do? Why has he put so many things off limits? Things that look perfectly good and wise and harmless and entertaining and exciting and cool and fun. And why does God take all that stuff and put it off limits? You know what the truth is? The truth is that God loves us so much that he tells us the difference between what's good for us and what isn't good for us, what will destroy us. And the things that will destroy us, that will ruin our relationships, that will damage our health, that will steal our joy, that will devastate our sense of fulfillment in life, those things God puts in a bundle and he labels it, and he calls it sin. You know, that's what sin is. It isn't what God wants to, fun things that God wants to keep us from. Sin is what God tells us to stay away from because it will kill us, because the wages of sin is death, because sin always destroys the person who embraces it, as well as the people all around him. Sin kills, and God wants us to stay away from it, not to ruin our fun, but to spare us from the agony that sin's going to produce in our life. You know, that is exactly what this verse is talking about here. When we hear the truth and we choose to live by it, that truth protects us from sin's destruction. You know, but so often what we do is we hear the truth and then we choose to leave it at that, just simply hearing. Perhaps because we don't trust it, perhaps because we have some other option that we like better, but so often we choose to simply hear the truth without following it. And when we do that, this says, Jesus says, we will be destroyed by the devastating effects of sin. Sin is a poison. It always kills, and that's why God wants us to stay away from it. Not because it's going to really make him angry if you don't do what's right, but because you're going to hate it if you do that, because it's going to kill you. It's going to destroy your life. It will tear down your house, and your house will fall with a great crash. And God says, please, please don't let that happen. I love you too much to watch you go through that. So please put my words into practice. You know, I'd like to take just a couple minutes to get real specific here. And, you know, I'm not here to pretend that I'm any better than anybody else. This isn't a contest. You know, the whole morality thing is not a contest about who can be good or better than somebody else. You know, you already know what things in your life you're tolerating that God calls sin. And it's important that you're honest with yourself about whatever sin you're embracing in your life. And you probably know what it is already. Are you being less than honest in your business? Or less than honest maybe in the words that you choose? Are you sleeping with somebody that you're not married to? Are you selfishly collecting things for yourself instead of being generous with the talents and the treasure that God's given you and the time God has granted you? Are you holding a grudge, refusing to forgive somebody who wronged you? Do you gossip and condemn and harshly criticize other people? You know, I could go on, but you know what? You could go on because you know better what's in your life. And I don't say these things to make you feel guilty and make you feel sad. I say them because God is pleading with you not to hurt yourself. And he's saying, please don't destroy your life by not putting into practice my words. You know what's in your life, and you know what right now God's Spirit is probably reminding you is sin. And you've heard the words of Jesus. The question is, are you going to do anything about it? You have a choice. Will that truth make a difference in your life? There's another verse in James that reminds us of this same idea. So I wanted to look at it this morning because it's a parallel thought. James says, don't merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Don't listen. Do what it says. The man who continues to do this, not forgetting what he's heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. You know, we church folk get really good at hearing the truth. We listen to sermons and we read books and we go to Bible studies in small groups. And then some of us even go to seminary, so we learn lots about the truth. But you know what really matters is not how much you know about the truth. What really matters is whether that truth is making a difference in your life or not. That's the choice that we all have to make. That's a choice that we have to make probably every single day, every time we hear God's truth. That is what determines whether or not you experience God's blessing and God's protection. Not deliverance from the hurricane, but protection through it. So that when we go through those storms, and even when we face the final judgment, our house will stand because it's based on having applied God's word to our lives. You know, with that astounding thought, Jesus ends the Sermon on the Mount. That's his conclusion. You know, you kind of go, wow. And Matthew records the reaction that the people had who were listening to him and what they thought about his message. You know, kind of like maybe what they said on the way out as they shook his hand or something, you know? When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching because he taught as one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law. The thing that amazed the crowds was that Jesus taught with authority. You know, the teachers in his day, called rabbis, they would often teach by citing a long list of previous rabbis and how they had answered a particular question or how they had interpreted a certain passage of the Bible. And yet Jesus was very different. He came and he spoke as one who had the authority on his own to speak directly about God's kingdom, about the meaning of the law, about the future, about God's requirements, about how we ought to act and think towards each other. He was one that came and spoke with authority and presented himself as the one who was going to be judging at the great judgment, at the end of time. He was the one that was going to sit on the throne. The way that Jesus taught these people left them amazed. They were probably amazed both at his words and at the way he delivered them. And the tense of this verb shows that it was a continual amazement. It uses a verb that means that it goes on and on, not just they were amazed once, but they continued to be amazed at what he had said. However, interestingly enough, this verse doesn't really say anything about the kind of response that this teaching had in the lives of people who heard Jesus that day. You know, being amazed doesn't change anything. Perhaps some of the people in that crowd that heard Jesus actually did something with what they'd heard. Unfortunately, probably most of them were simply amazed. We've spent this last year studying the Sermon on the Mount, and you've heard the words that Jesus intended for you, the things that he said that he wanted you to know as one of his followers. Now, personally, I'm amazed at what he said, and I hope you are too. I hope that you've grasped how radical some of his teaching is and the ways, the incredible ways that it impacts our lives and really debunks conventional wisdom and what everybody would say, this is the way we ought to live. And he takes a decidedly different path, and it's amazing. And I hope that you've caught that and that you're amazed too. But you know what? That's not the most important question. The most important question is, what's next after being amazed? When you go home, how are you going to leave today after going through this study for this whole year? How are you going to leave? Are you going to leave informed or amazed or changed? See, that's the choice that we have to make. You have that choice. You can either choose to embrace God's word and put it into practice in your life, or you can hear it and then just walk away, unchallenged, unchanged. If you choose to apply God's word, to shape your life according to its teachings, then you are forming what Jesus calls a stable foundation in your life that's going to allow you to endure and survive the difficulties and the challenges that you're going to face in life, that every one of us faces in life. God wants to protect us from the great damage that sin can do in our lives. And the reason he says no to certain things is because they're dangerous. They're poisonous, they're destructive, and he wants to spare us from that tragedy. And so he warns us, and if we heed his instructions, if we do something about that warning, take it seriously and change because of it, then we will be protected. On the other hand, if we hear God's word and then we choose not to act upon it, not to shape our lives according to its teachings, then we're unprotected from the destruction of sin and from the dangers of the fallen world that we live in. You know, it does no good to hear God's word if you don't do anything about it. This morning I was in the graduation class of Christianity 101. It's a class that's been going on for the last few weeks here at our church. I mean, last few, 16, something like that, 16 weeks. And these people have gone through, it's a group of probably about 15, that have gone through some of the basics of what it means to live the Christian life. What does it mean to have a prayer in your life and to have God's word in your life, to read the Bible and let it shape your direction? What does it mean to be able to share your faith with somebody else? And it's just really the basics of what it is all about to be a Christian according to what the Bible teaches. And one of the things that was interesting about this class is there were several people in there that said, you know, I'm really discovering that it isn't what I know about God's word, it's about whether I do it or not, whether I put it into practice. And they're exactly right. That is the thing that makes a difference. You know what? You've heard God's word. You hear God's word here every week. If you're here, you're hearing God's word every week. And if you read your Bible, you hear it every day. And if you're in a small group, you get another dose of it. And if you turn on the radio or read a book and it's, you know, a good book, then it's going to give you another dose of God's word. So you have heard God's word. You have heard the words that Jesus taught his followers that day on the mountain. You've heard. The real question is, what are you going to do about it? What will you change as a result of hearing God's word? I'd like us to pray together. Let me pray for us that God will give us the strength to do this, because this is a difficult thing for us to let loose of and for us to allow God to have that direction in our life. And even if we want to do it, I know it's hard. So let's pray that God would give us the strength as we approach that.